Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Thankful, grateful, and as always, blessed to be with you this morning as we move forward in the Word of God. Whew, and it is a great word. Now, on yesterday, I had opportunity to give the meditation, and what God gave me was power of our tongue. What we speak, what we say, how we act, all of those are reflections of who we are. And it just is a main thing is how do we protect who we are? We don't want to be caught up in foolishness. We don't want to be caught up in our words being harsh or hurtful. And so I'm going to start out this morning with that we had on Saturday that I don't believe I had opportunity to share with you, but it says this, coming out of Matthew chapter 12, verses 36 through 37 in our SV version, it says, I tell you, on the day of judgment, you will have given account of every careless word you utter, for by your words you will be justified. And by your words, you will be condemned. Kings of kings, your judgments are wise and your perspective perfect. I align myself with you and your kingdom again today. I invite you to remove everything that stands against your character, your holy love that is full of grace. Where I have become complacent in the words that leave my mouth. Like a torrent, I ask for a check-in with holy fear to consider the possible impact of my carelessness. I repent. Yes. When we speak that which we should not. And in repent, I repent for the ways my words misrepresent you to those around me. We got to ask God, Lord, forgive me. For my mouth, for this tongue that comes out and says things that it shouldn't. We got to ask forgiveness. God, I struggle with a line of wanting to be real and seeking to honor you. Help me to have a guard over my mouth so I think about what I say before it leaves my tongue. And I sleep with a retainer. And, you know, of course, your retainer covers your teeth and it, you know, keeps you from, your teeth from protruding. And the thing is that when I put my retainer in, I can't hardly talk. But it guards my mouth. It's a mouth guard. And the thing is that we need a mouth guard in our life to keep us from speaking what we shouldn't speak and saying what we shouldn't say. God sees everything. He knows everything. He knows our ups, he knows our downs, he knows our good, and he definitely knows our bad. So we got to talk to the Lord and say, Father God, I ask forgiveness over my tongue. Keep this thing behind my teeth if I don't have anything good to say, because a person's good name is important. And we got to understand, and it goes on to say, I don't want to wound people with thoughtless words that do nothing for your kingdom. I know you readily give to all who ask, and I am asking for your help. And the question was this, do you consider the impact of your words before you speak? And most of us don't. So I ask today as I go into prayer, before we go forward, Father God, I come to you this morning asking you, Lord, to guide me, lead me, and show me the way. Lord God, let the words that I speak be the words that you give me. Lord, I ask you to increase as your daughter decreased, Father God, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my humble heart be acceptable in your holy and divine sight. For you, Father God, are my strength. You are my strength and you are my redeemer. Lord God, I lift this word up to you this morning, asking you, God, to take control and show us and guide us in the way that we should go. And Lord God, I lift this word up again as I speak, asking you, Father God, let my heart be open to receive you and only you. Let your Holy Spirit speak through me this morning, Father God. And as I decrease, Father God, I ask you to increase. And let the words of my mouth and the meditation on my humble heart collectively be acceptable in your holy and divine sight. For you, Father God, are my strength. You are my strength, God. I cannot do this without you. And you are my redeemer through the blood of Jesus Christ. I ask you, Lord God, rain on me. Let your Holy Ghost power fill me up this morning as I go forth with your words. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Giving honor to the Most High God and giving a shout out to my pastor, Pastor Jesse Herring, a mighty, awesome woman of God. Thanking God for all of the men and women of the Table of Life Ministry. Special shout out to W Faith Ministry. Ladies, we've been doing this thing for the last 10, and I'm asking God to give us 10 more in the name of Jesus. So let's keep it moving in the name of Jesus, because this is what Solomon had to say. And we all know he was wise. But in his older age, I think he became a cynic. He had had everything, everything you can imagine. All the riches of the world, most beautiful women, money that he'll never, ever be able to spend. And he was cynical. You know, all through Ecclesiastes, he gives us, there's time for everything. And there is. But the one thing he says is a good name is better than precious ointment. And that's our title for this morning. A good name is better than precious ointment. This year is my class reunion. I don't want to go back to a class reunion where they talk about you like a doll, because you was that girl. You was that round the way. You was, and forgive me for the language, you was a thought, you was a this, you was a that. You was the S word, you was the H word, you was the word that nobody can mention word. But you don't want to have that kind of name. You want to have a good name. You want to be thought of highly. You know, I didn't mind being called church girl, not in the vernacular of Beyonce, but I wanted to be a good girl. Because that's how my mother raised me. That was what my mother said, that she wanted me to be a good girl, to speak, to be spoken of highly and not of in a negative or derogatory way. And this is what Solomon tells us in Ecclesiastes chapter 7. A good name is better than precious ointment. And the day of death, why? Because when we die, we know we have opportunity for eternity. We have opportunity to live a better life. We have opportunity to be with God. Hallelujah. What a precious and awesome gift. We know that when we are born, we have that time frame where our good name is going to be important. From birth to death, it's where you write your story. Because at death, your next book is written, and that's the book of eternal life. And the question becomes, where will I spend eternal life? Did I have a good name in life? And it goes on to say, better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting. For that is the end of all men, and the living will take it to heart. Sorrow is better than laughter, For by a sad countenance the heart is made better. Ooh, he's all up in my business. The heart of the wise is in the house of mourning, but the heart of fools is in the house of mirth. Mourning is no joke. When you've been through it, loss of parents, loss of husbands, or just say loss of spouses, loss of children, loss of best friends, loss of family members, grandmothers, grandfathers, brothers, sisters. It takes its toll on you, but it makes you stronger. It makes you better. It makes you depend on God. Instead of every time you're going through, you call your big, or every time you're going through, you call your mama, or every time you're going through, you call your dad. Every time you're going through, you call everybody but God. You take it to the phone and not the throne. And so sometimes God will take away that block that keeps you from calling on him so that you understand he is the author and finisher. He is the one that's in charge of everything. Not your brother, not your sister, not your husband, not your wife, not your mama, not your daddy, but God, Daddy God. It is better to hear the rebuke of the wise than for a man to hear the song of fools. But like the crackling of thorns under a pot, so is the laughter of the fool. This also is vanity. Surely oppression destroys a wise man's reason, and a pride bases the heart. The end of things is better than its beginning. The patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. Do not hasten in your spirit to be angry. Come on now. For anger rests in the bosom of fools. We can't walk around angry and mad at everything and everybody. We got to give it to God and keep it moving. Do not say, were the former days better than these? For you do not inquire wisely concerning this. Wisdom is good with an inheritance and profitable to those who see the sun. For wisdom is a defense as money is a defense. But the excellence of knowledge is that wisdom gives life to those who have it. Consider the work of God. For who can make straight what has made crooked? In the day of prosperity, be joyful. But in the day of adversity, consider surely God has appointed the one so that man can find out nothing that will come after him. And I'm going to read that again. Because so many times we get caught up in our prosperity that we forget to give God credit, to give God praise, to ask God, what should I do with my prosperity? But I love what Solomon says, in the day of prosperity, be joyful. Yes, be grateful, be thankful, and know that you are blessed when you have. Because believe me, there are days when you will not. But in the day of adversity, consider surely God has appointed the one as well as the other so that man can find out nothing that will come after him. Ooh, I have seen everything in my days of vanity. There is a just man who perishes in his righteousness, and there is a wicked man who prolongs life in his wickedness. And, you know, I've heard older people say, well, you know, only the good die young. And it's something that you, like, you have to kind of give a look to say, okay, well, what does that mean about you when you're 94 years old? But, you know, we got to keep it moving. Do not be overly righteous, not be overly wise. Come on now. Why should you destroy yourself? Do not be overly wicked, nor be foolish. Why should you die before your time? Come on now. It is good that you grasp this, and also not remove your hand from the other, for he who fears God will escape them all. Wisdom strengthens the wise more than 10 rulers of the city, but there is not a just man on earth who does good and does not sin. For we all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. be all one perfect person. I'm definitely not perfect, but I love the Lord. None of us are perfect. We all fall short. Love what Solomon says. He says, but there is not one man on earth who does good and does not sin. We all fall short. Also, do not take to heart people say, lest you hear your servant cursing you. For many times also your own heart is known that even you have cursed others. Wow. Is he saying it or what? You know, wisdom is better than sacrifice. I'm going to tell you, Solomon's not playing. But actually the word of God says obedience is better than sacrifice. Wisdom is right there. Because to be obedient, you're being wise. Be obedient to God. God is looking for our obedience today. But again, got to read this one more time. Also, do not take to heart everything people say, lest you hear your servant cursing you. For many times also your own heart has known that even you have cursed others. All this I have about wisdom. I said, I will be wise from me. As for that which is far off and exceedingly deep, who can find it out? I applied my heart to know, to search and seek out wisdom, the reason of everything, to know the wickedness of folly, even of foolishness and madness, and I find better than death. The woman whose heart is snares and nets, whose hands are fetters, who pleases God shall escape from her, but the sinner shall be trapped by her. He can talk. The man's got 1,000 women in his life, 700 wives and 300 concubines. Come on. He got a whole bunch of stuff going on. Call it like it is. Talks about women. He probably knows. And it goes on to say in verse 27 of Ecclesiastes chapter 7, for those that are just joining us, there he is what I have found, says the preacher, adding one thing to the other to find out the reason, which my soul still seeks, but I cannot find. One man among the thousands I have found, but a woman among all these I have not found. Truly this only I have found, that God made man upright, but they have sought out many schemes. Ooh, that's it. 29. Truly, though, this only I have found, that God made man upright, but they have sought out many schemes. And that is the ecclesiastic word for this morning. And what we're going to do is go through our word, and then we'll come back and put in our life lessons and do those last. And our psalm for today is the 103rd Psalm, verses 1 through 5. And it's also part of our title when we talk about a good name is better than ointment. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is with me, bless his holy name. The name of God is holy. Jehovah is holy. Yah is holy. Abba is holy. Abba, Father, is holy. Our Father is holy. A great name. Jesus is holy. Christ Jesus is holy. Joshua is holy. The name, his great name, is holy. And because it is holy, it is a precious name. Oh, how precious is the name of Jesus. And when you call on that name, demons flee. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy, the Lord, oh my soul, and forget now all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. There is nothing like your good name. Don't take your name for granted. Don't take the grace of God for granted. For God will give you everything you need and even the desires of your heart, your name as a good name. So folks are not talking about you and calling you everything but understand, family, that we who want to set in judgment like we God better understand. What goes around comes around. So don't sit in your glee talking about how somebody else is falling when the next someone that falls could be you. We don't gleefully get happy when somebody else is going through, because we never know the next one to go through may be you. Watch what you say. Keep your tongue behind your teeth. If you don't have anything good to say, keep it quiet and be quiet, because God is watching everything we do. For we all will be held accountable one day as we stand before the judgment seat of God. And as we go into our Proverbs chapter 24, verse 7 through 9, we talk about being foolish. You don't want to have a thing where everybody talks about how silly you are. A girl, he's so silly. Mm-mm. You know, you all in love with somebody. Girl, he's so silly. That girl ain't doing nothing but using him. Every time he get paid, she get paid, and all she do is go to the bank and go hang out with her boo. And he's sitting there watching her kids. Girl, please. You know, folks talking about you and your name being drugged through the mud. Well, you know, girl, you know she was telling you, know, I'm doing such and such and such. And and you know she got fixed to find a baby daddy, girl. No, what you mean? Oh, she got six. I thought that boo-boo was not boo-boo saying this. Girl, ooh, I didn't know that. Who's boo-boo daddy? Girl, you must be kidding. That's not, I thought, are you sure Boo-Boo Senior ain't his daddy? Oh, Boo-Boo Senior is Boo-Boo's daddy, but he ain't little boy's daddy. Oh, little boy's not Boo-Boo Senior's. Girl, ooh, I know, ooh, girl, you know that, girl, that, I ain't going to talk about his mama, but you know, she was. Folks talk about people. And then when Boo-Boo and his family come to church, they got to deal with all the little eyes checking them out as they whisper behind the hand. And then you wonder why Boo-Boo and his family don't come back to church. Keep your tongue behind your teeth. You don't know whose name you're messing up. You don't know who you are running out of the house of God. You may be running out of the house of God the next pastor. You may be running out of the house of God the next person to save your child's life. You don't know what you're doing. That's why we cannot be foolish. And as Solomon says, wisdom is too lofty for a fool. He does not open his mouth in the gate. He who plots to do evil will be called a schemer. The devising of foolishness is sin. And the scoffer is an abomination to men. We got to be careful what our name says about us. Your good name is more precious than ointment. And don't get angry. Don't always walk around with a chip on your shoulder, mad at the world because what you have done with your life. You want to get mad at everybody else because it's nobody's fault but theirs. Because you are perfect. We're not perfect. We are all the children of God, and we are fallible. We make mistakes. We fall. But God is there to help us get back up. He's there to dust us off. He's there to give us hope in the future and change how our name is received. Hallelujah. Thank God daily that you can be better today than you were yesterday, because God gave you a do-over. You're alive. You can strive. Be grateful. You can be better today than who you were yesterday. Be grateful. Every morning I tell God I'm thankful that he gave me a new day. Grateful that he chose me to do what I do for him. And I'm blessed to be a child of the Most High God. Tell God daily, Lord, I'm thankful, grateful, and blessed to belong to you. Let your words be positive. Don't tear down. Build up. Thank God daily that you can build up. And we're going to go into our Corinthian word, which is 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1 through 18. And this is what Paul has said. Moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that all our fathers were under the cloud. All passed through the sea. All were baptized into Moses' cloud and in the sea. All ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink. But they drank of the Tsurach that followed them. Tsurach was Christ. But with most of them, God was not well pleased, for their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. Now, these things became our examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted, and do not become idolaters as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Nor let us commit sexual immorality as some of them did, and in one day 23,000 fell. Nor let us tempt Christ as some of them also tempted and were destroyed by serpents. Nor complain as some of them also complained and was destroyed by the destroyer. Now all these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the end of the ages have come. Everything he said in Exodus, because hard-headed, just stubborn, don't want to listen. Oh, huh, Moses done brought us out here to die in the wilderness. Moses done did this. Moses done did that. You know what? Why we got to follow him? Why we got to do what he said? Why we got to this? Why we got to that? We just as important as he is. He's not this. He's not that. And then as you go through all of that drama, wind up losing your life, and God telling you, you're going to choose the 10 and be afraid to walk into your promise, because 10 said, there's giants over there. We don't want to be going over there, meddling around. They're giants. And then the 2 coming back said, but the land is filled with milk and honey. It's perfect. And if God goes before us, we can conquer this land. We can do this. And you want to stone them. Because they positive. The folks that are speaking the truth and are positive, you want to get rid of them. But the negative Nellies whining and complaining, they took that from us. It was stolen. It was this. It was that. Come on, quit whining and grow up and know that everything happens because God allows it to. And when we come to that understanding, everything else falls into place. We got to love God and love God's people. Whether they're good, bad, or ugly, they're still children of God. And we got to love them. And in some instances, you may have to love the hell out of them. But the bottom line is you trust. Continue in our word this morning. And it says this. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. Come on now. No temptation has overtaken you except such to man, but God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Come on, God. Thank you. Therefore, my beloved, flee from idolatry. Don't get caught up in worshiping people, places, or things. Don't do it. Don't be an idolater. Don't put somebody on a pedestal that you worship them instead of worship God. You have folks that come to church because they like the pastor, not because they're trying to get saved, not because they want eternal life. Church follows after that pastor because a new one's coming, and they like the way this pastor preaches. So they leave the church and split up the body of Christ. Because they're not going for God, they're going for the pastor. We have to be careful of idolatry. Pastors don't want to be idolized. Pastors just want to do their job. And that is to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. They want to do their anointed and appointed thing that God has called them to do. Are you called or are you chosen? We've all had that word. But the one thing that God wants us to have is a good name. Let your name speak for who you are, a good person, a person who has changed their life, whose life was changed by the grace of God, who got saved. They're no longer their Shaniqua. Miss Shaniqua. Sister Shaniqua. She's not Boo Boo Baby's mama. She's a good girl. She's a wonderful woman. She loves God, and she wants a family in church. She's not Boo-Boo's side piece. She's a wonderful woman of God. And she's changed her life. You got to get out of the judging business and get into the loving God and loving God's people business. And taking someone's wicked name that you address and making it their good name, because God gave it to them. God did it. My God. And we give God the glory every day because he loves us enough to change our name because we're adopted into his family. And then it goes on to tell us in verse 15 of 1 Corinthians chapter 10. I speak as to wise men. Judge for yourselves what I say. The cup of blessings which we bless is not the communion of the blood of Christ. The bread which we break is not the communion of the body of Christ. For we are one bread and one body. For we all partake that one bread. Observe, Israel, after the flesh are not those who eat of the sacrifices, partakers of the altar. And that is our word this morning. I have just read for you today Ecclesiastes chapter 7, 103rd Psalm, verses 1 through 5, Proverbs, the 24th Proverb, verses 7 through 9, and 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1 through 18. And we're going to go back and do some life questions, life examples. And again, my daily disclaimer, I am coming out of the Charles F. Stanley Life Principles Daily Bible, Biblical Principles for Each Day of the Year. I am coming out of New King James. And as I say, my disclaimer is, I am not being paid by In Touch Ministries. I am not being paid by ChristianBooks.com to tell you that you need to buy this Bible, that you need to put this Bible in your biblical arsenal because it is one of the best Bibles you could ever own. It is a great meditation Bible, whereas the Word of God tells us to meditate on His Word day and night. This is a great Bible to use for your daily meditation. It is divided into daily words. So you will get an Old Testament word. You will get a psalm. You will get a proverb. And you will get a New Testament word every day. Psalm is divided up from January to December 31st. January 1st, December 31st. All the Psalms are divided. All the Proverbs are divided to last, all of them, from January to December. And each one is put into the right place. It just happens to fall perfectly. A lot of work and research. So I just say thank you to Dr. Stanley for putting this daily word Bible in place. And the commentary, the life examples, the life questions come from Dr. Stanley, but they make us think, because you got to understand Dr. Stanley has been around a long time and he has gained a lot of wisdom and a lot of perspective. And I can say this, he has a great name. And I am so grateful that God sent me to this Bible for this time, because my assignment is to read the Word of God from Genesis to Revelation chapter 22, verse 21 in 1 year. This is our second or third time. Well, not necessarily in a year, but reading the entire Word, we have done it probably 5 times, different ways. We've been in chronological order, chronological Bible. We've been in a Greek and Hebrew translated Bible. We've been in just our regular. I've done from my women's Bible. And this year, God has given me this Charles Stanley Life Principles Bible. So I say I've been doing this for quite a long time. And I'm just thankful to God that this has been one of the best Bibles I have ever used. And I am so grateful to Dr. Stanley for listening to the voice of God. And I'm thankful to all of you for listening to me. I get emotional because the Word of God touches my heart. And it takes me down a place and to a place that I just feel God's presence. And I'm thankful for it. I'm thankful that I can take God with me wherever I go. This morning, you know, I'm like, Lord, where am I going to, you know, do my show? I am doing my show from a car. I am in my car. So you may have heard my door close and open because the light goes off and I have to cut the light back on. But I'm grateful because I know that this car is on faith. Because I had an accident in my car, you know, and you want to cry because I was only 1 year from paying my car off. No more car payments. Next year would have been my last year. And I was so excited. I was like, ooh, this baby's going to get paid off next year. Thank you, Lord. But that was not God's plan. And I'm like, okay, God, you gave me another few years of car payments. But understand that God will make a way for every payment to be paid. I have faith in that. He wouldn't have brought me here if he wasn't going to take care of it. And so I sit in my car because I know that I am grateful to have it. I'm blessed that I'm still alive. Excuse me. I am blessed to be here because my car went airborne and landed on its side where the gas tank was and where I was. God gave me a sunroof to climb out of and helping hands to do it. And not one bone was broken, not one scratch. The windshield didn't break. The side door didn't shatter. Airbags went off. It was like being in a clouded cocoon. So don't tell me what my daddy God can't do. His great name saved my life, Jesus. I thank you. Thing I knew to say as I'm going over this curb. It was a 3-foot curb that I went over because it had nothing to block you from falling. And all I can say is Jesus. And that's the name I called on. And that's the name that saved my life. The firefighters couldn't even believe. They said, you know, you can walk. You all right? Yes, I am. And I'm grateful. I'm thankful and I'm blessed. And then I started telling them about Jesus. I said, I called on the name of Jesus, and I know that I was going to be all right. And they looking at me crazy, and I'm looking right back at them, and I'm preaching out there in the doggone cold, icy weather, and I'm saying, Lord, thank you. Thank you, Jesus. And they're looking at me like, this lady is crazy. But nuh-uh, this lady was grateful. So today I'm in my car doing this show. All that is not a idolatry. It's not a symbol. It's a grateful gift from God. I'm grateful that God has blessed me. I'm grateful that I'm thankful because I'm still here. He gave me a do-over. He gave me a new life, and I'm thankful for it. Praise God with me this morning, because his great name is what gets us through the day. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jehovah. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Abba, Father. Whew, thank you. Thank you, Lord. And so as we go back over our life lessons, life questions from Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 5, it is better to hear the rebuke of the wise than for a man to hear the song of fools. Whew, we live in an entertainment age in which people increasingly value mindless diversions over substantive speech. That might require some fun is great, but never as the main goal of life. We can't live forever just having fun. Woo, girl, I went to the club last night. It was so much fun, girl. We danced. We had, you know, I had my drink on, girl. Yes, I did. And it was so good. Okay. Woo-hoo. Did you go to church? Girl, please, I ain't got time for all that. You got time for the club. You got time for this. You got time for that. But you don't have time for God. And I'm going to speak this because I've been there. I've been there where I did not think about going to the church. Didn't want to go. Didn't like it. Didn't like the people in it with their hypocritical talking about everybody's self. I didn't want to be bothered because I can have Jesus right at home. And so I watched all my little shows. And even my kids, I didn't even know my children were watching the 700 Club. Had no idea that they was watching the 700 Club. Because that was where my TV was, on religious channels. It wasn't that I didn't love God. It wasn't that I didn't worship God. It was that I had allowed the enemy to knock me off my square, to knock my husband and I off our square, because he knew that if we stayed in the house of God, we would have been a power couple for the Lord. And he was trying his best to keep us from our destiny. But he didn't. God did it. And I thank God that we never gave up on God and we never stopped praying. So God is always, his good name is always on my lips. Hallelujah. And I thank him every day. Ecclesiastes 7 and 14, God has appointed the one as well as the other. Come on. Keep your judging tongue behind your teeth. We tend to see good times as the blessing of God and bad times as the work of the devil. Come on, y'all. Let's all raise our hands because we all are guilty of that sentiment. When things are going good, ooh, thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. God is good. Everything. Things are going bad. Oh, I just can't. The devil is just attacking me. And I, you know, that no-down, dirty snake. I just can't stand the devil. Everything is just no. Maybe it's your bad decision. Maybe it was not you not listening to God, but listening to yourself. The devil didn't have nothing to do with it. We give the devil so much credit that we forget to give God thanks for all the blessings that we have. We forget to give God thanks for our good, our bad, and our ugly. Because when you're going through your bad and you're going through your ugly, is because you need to get off your hiney and do some things. There's some things that we need to do. And it don't have anything to do with the devil. And yes, you will get attacked. Yes, the enemy will come at you when you open that door for him to come in. But if you keep that door closed and things are going on, it's you. I have to say that my mess is my mess. It don't have anything to do with the devil. My procrastination has nothing to do with the devil. My running late has nothing to do with the devil. That I overslept because I stayed up too late. It's because I didn't make prior planning. I had a poor performance. You know, we got to understand that we can't blame the devil for everything we go through. Some things are of our own making and our own doing. Maybe I ran out of money because it didn't budget well this month. You know, we can't always say that everything is an attack from the enemy. And I love what Dr. Stanley says, and he tells us this. He says, but such of you is short-sighted. Nothing reaches us without first passing through the hand of our sovereign God. Nothing. We read it in Job. Nothing happens without God's approval. The enemy cannot touch you unless God allows it. God is allowing it. Stronger. It's to make you wiser. It's to make you better. It is iron sharpening iron. You are going through the fire to come out gold. Hallelujah. And this is another word, a life question. How to control our anger. And when we go back to Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 9 says, do not hasten in your spirit to be angry, but anger rests in the bosom of fools. And in Isaiah 64:9, it says, the prophet implored God with these words, do not be furious, O Lord, nor remember iniquity forever. This passage implies that God measures his anger in a way appropriate occasion. We, too, can learn how to measure our anger and focus it so that we do no harm. How do we go about that? In Ephesians 4:26, which we read on yesterday, God exhorts us to control our anger so that we don't sin. While anger itself is not sinful, it can quickly lead to sin. A line exists that we must not cross. How do we know when we have crossed it? Clearly, we must avoid verbal abuse and physical violence. But anger can lead to other sins just as deadly. Whenever you see the following in your life, you know you have crossed the line. Strife. Proverbs 29:22. Tell us, an angry man stirs up strife. Strife can take many forms, but it always pits one person against another, even if things don't become loud or violent. Isaiah warns against employers who took unfair advantage of their workers, yet tried to cover their tracks with religious observance. Indeed, you fast for strife and debate, and to strike with the fist of wickedness, but it won't work. You will not fast as you do this day to make your voice heard on high. Yeah, you got folks that try to guise up the devilment in Christianity. Well, I'm a Christian, and on this, well, you know what? A whole bunch of slave owners call themselves Christians, too, as they was beating the tar and hanging people. I'm sorry, I'm just calling it straight, but they call themselves Christians. Many folks burning crosses on lawns call themselves Christian, too. My husband carried in his badge case for his whole career a Ku Klux Klan application that he found on his law enforcement job. The folks go to shoot there at every booth was an application to the Klan. Come on now. Strife. Anger. He carried it as a reminder that he had only God to depend on. Come on now. Bitterness. Psalm 30, verse 5 says that God's anger is but for a moment. And Ephesians 4:26 warns us against staying angry overnight. Extended anger usually leads to bitterness. So God instructs us, let us bitterness, wrath, anger, clamoring, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Ephesians 4:31. Isolation. Nursing our anger leads to people becoming separated from each other. Proverbs 16:28 warns us against this by pointing out that a whisperer separates the best of friends. A liar can separate best friends. A liar can cause one to hate another because they believe a liar over their friend. We got to be careful who we listen to, who you allow into your ears. You got to watch. Retaliation, Romans 12:19 addresses this directly. Do not avenge yourself, but rather deal place to wrath. What it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. Remember, the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. James 1:20. I can't wait till we get to James. James is one of the best books in the Bible besides Joshua. Because y'all know I have a love relationship with Joshua. In chapter, in the 103rd Psalm, verse 1, life lesson. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is with me, within me. Bless his holy name. Your good name is more precious than ointment. God wants every part of us, body, soul, and spirit, to grow close to him and to enter into a joyful relationship with him. He seeks worshipers who will gladly give everything they are to him. Good name. Hallelujah. And as our last life lesson this morning, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11. And it just says, now all these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. Everything in the scripture exists for our example, warning, and admonition. We are to know what God's people did in the past and how God reacted to them in order to move ahead in our own walk of faith. And remember, your good name is important. And our word for this morning from our 365 days of prayer is this. Wise words. Do not believe every spirit, but test the spirit, whether they are of God. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. 1 John 4:1, New King James Version. Infinite one. Your power knows no limit or boundaries. Your wisdom constantly counsels me, leading me into love follows me all the days of my life. I could go on about how you lead, love, and strengthen me in every area of life. Lord, I am thankful that you give us the ability to distinguish the spirit behind every movement. I won't fool myself into thinking that a feeling is enough. The fruit of a life or ministry is the clue to know whether it's aligned with you or not. God, as I seek you, I will not be afraid of falling prey to false doctrines or prophets, knowing that you are the ultimate leader. Help me to keep your law of love in mind when I test the fruit of different ministries. Thank you that in you I know the truth, and the truth sets me free. And the word for today is this. Do you trust that you are able to test whether a teaching is from or not? And that is mine as well as any other. Make sure what you're listening to is coming from God and not from flesh. For God is important, and God is absolute. Keep God first in everything that you do and watch him work in your life. And as always, before we get out of here, a word from my sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn, and that word for this morning is this. Good morning. Whatever you're going through, God knows and he is with you. He won't let you go through more than you can bear. No matter what it looks like, have faith. He's able. Have a marvelous Monday. And as always, Sister Carolyn, right on point, right with the message. Because this morning, as we ended our lesson, what did Dr. Stanley say to us in our last life lesson? as I go back to it, on this 29th day of August. Whew, I love it. I love it. I love it. We got to have faith. Faith. That key word. Faith. That takes us through everything. And as it says, everything in the scripture exists for our example, warning, and admonition. We are to know what God's people did in the past and how God reacted to them in order to move ahead in our own walk of faith. And as Dr. Stanley and his sister Carolyn say, and as I'm setting in my faith mobile, I say thank God for today. Thank God for each of you. Have faith that God has given you a great name, and your name is written in the book of life. For a great name is better than ointment. You are special to God, and he loves you. And all I can say is thank you so much for listening. Have a blessed and wonderful day, knowing that you are sons and daughters of the Most High God, and that he loves you. A good name is better than precious ointment. As you go through your day, remember that your good name is what sets you apart. Your good name is what makes you special to the Most High God. Keep God first in all that you're doing and watch him work in your life. Have a blessed and wonderful day, family. May the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent one from each other. In Jesus' name, I pray over you and yours. Have a blessed and wonderful day. It is a wrap because I got to go to work. I love you all. Be blessed.